The Punch and Judy Girl, written by Sheila Newbery and read by Katie Sobey. It was a dew, damp morning, the sky still hazily grey, in late May, already warm despite the early hour, when young May Moon trundled into town. The nickname had been given her by her grandfather, who'd played the tune on his fiddle at many a jig. The high red wheels of the trap scraped against the walls of the narrow, humpback stone bridge, over which she led the reluctant donkey, Smokey. She glanced over the parapet. The water below was hidden under a shifting mass of evil slime. On the opposite bank of the river were ramshackle wooden shacks, tarred black, with rank weeds growing round the foundations. These old smoking huts appeared deserted, probably because of the decline in herring fishing. May shivered involuntarily. Fortunately, she thought, they would shortly leave this gloomy place behind, for now the smell of the sea was tantalizingly close. May was almost 16, olive-skinned, dark-eyed, with a great knot of shining blue-black hair crammed under her father's best straw boater. She was feeling somewhat apprehensive, for this afternoon, on the familiar Westwick sands, she'd be setting up her very first show, Professor Jazz Jolly's Punch and Judy. May would keep the legend in memory of her late father, Jim, the popular Punch and Judy man. Professor was, of course, an honorary title, but traditional. Smokey plodded on, sensing journey's end, after May climbed back into the driving seat. May and her younger sister Pomona had travelled almost 20 miles from their Aunt Min's home on the outskirts of Kettle Row, a market town on the borders of Suffolk and Norfolk. Their grandfather had settled with his daughter when he gave up travelling with the show. To Min, who'd been widowed in the Boer War, the Jollies were her family. Min was responsible for naming her younger niece after Pomona, the Roman goddess of orchards. This was fitting because Min made her living from the apple, pear and plum trees in the small holding she'd inherited from her in-laws. Jim and the children stayed on the farm during the winter, when Pomona attended the village school. May's education had ended at 14, so she and Jim spent this time refurbishing the puppets, sewing new costumes, painting fresh backcloths, inventing new props. Sadly, soon after their return from the last summer season, Jim succumbed to chronic congestion of the lungs. The condition had plagued him since he was gassed in the trenches during the Great War, the one it was said would end all wars. He had been invalided out of the army in 1916. During his absence, Carmen, his wife, had left May with Min while she toured with other dancers to entertain the troops. She'd not been best pleased when she was expected to return home to look after her sick husband and then a new baby in 1917. Jim's last words to May were, "Will you girls carry on with the show?" She'd promised him that they would. May and Pomona were about to fulfill this pledge. Their mother, Carmen, a volatile Spanish flamenco dancer who'd left most of the girls' upbringing to their father, had flounced off 4 summers ago with an itinerant evangelist after a huge row with Jim right in the middle of the rival entertainments, leaving both audiences gulping on the beach. "That's the way to do it," Punch had cried, as the hymn singing faltered and faded. "He never liked her," Jim muttered to May.